Welcome to City on a Hill, where we believe, belong, become, and build. We are a loving and caring community located in Crab Orchard, West Virginia, led by Pastor Damon Davis. Whether you're listening for the first time or you're a regular part of our family, we are so glad that you're here. At City on a Hill, we believe in reaching out to everyone with the love of Christ. Make sure to visit us online at cityonahillwv.com for more info on how to get connected. Now, let's dive right into the message from today and grow together in Christ.
Amen. Clap your hands. Amen. He's good. Oh, clap your hands. It's all right. He said, clap your hands, all ye people. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Worthy are you, Lamb of God, worthy. You're worthy in this place, Lord. You're worthy, you're worthy. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you for your grace and your mercy and your love. The book of John, chapter 2, verse 1. They sang he was a miracle worker. We're going to talk about a miracle. And the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. Look at your neighbor and say, they're out. Jesus saith unto her, woman. That's interesting, you know. He didn't call her mom, mother. He said, woman. I don't call my wife woman. I don't call my old lady. Some of you guys like my old lady. I don't know who my old lady is. Because I look like her old man. I'm getting sick of that, though. These people are like, oh, is this your daughter? I'm done. This is my wife. He said, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. She acts like she was deaf and didn't hear a word he said. You notice this? His mother said unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there was set there 6 water pots of stone after the manner of purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Anybody know what a firkin is? They say these pots would hold anywhere between 18 and 27 gallons. So somebody real fast, 27 times 6. What is it? 162? 162 gallons of wine is getting ready to be made. Think about that. Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, draw out now and bear to the governor of the feast, and they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, he knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew. The governor of the feast called the bridegroom and saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine. And when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. You can be seated. I'm going to talk to you for just a little bit about this miracle. I find it an extremely unusual miracle. I've studied this. I've listened to everybody preach this sermon. And I've got some answers. Some answers I still don't have. But I want to talk to you about what I know. What I know is this was his first miracle. It's an unlikely miracle. And to me personally, it seems like an unnecessary miracle. Does anybody agree? It doesn't seem like, I can understand if a man is by the wayside and he is blind and he is yelling for help. I can understand why Jesus would take the time and perform a miracle for him. I can understand if a woman that had an issue of blood and had spent all she had and went to every doctor she could find and she was none better. I can understand why Jesus would allow virtue to touch that woman. I can understand if a man come to Jesus with a withered hand and he straightens his hand out. I can understand that. But this miracle is not a miracle of necessity at all. Though these people had real needs and needed God to intervene, this is not a miracle of necessity at all, would you agree? As a matter of fact, the point that they ran out of wine is just really an annoyance. That's all it was, an inconvenience. Because no doubt they could have went and purchased more wine. Amen? But God chose for some reason to turn this water into wine, even though it wasn't a necessity, but just a minor inconvenience. So this, through studying these scriptures, this is what I've learned. That God doesn't just care about your needs. He also cares about your annoyances. Can you say amen? We serve a God that is so personal that he's not just into what I need, but I believe he's also into some things that I may want. Can you say amen? God is that personal and that loving and that gracious. It's the only thing that makes sense to me. Other than that, he should have said, I'm not doing it, which he kind of did, but his mom said, yeah, you are. It's interesting to me that this is a marriage. This is not a wine tasting. The wine was not the main purpose for being there, though I do believe that some came just for that reason. Let me try it over here. Maybe y'all don't know any people like I know people. I won't ask you to raise your hand, but how many people have went to weddings for other reasons than the wedding? I went to weddings, not because I wanted to go to the wedding, but because my wife asked me to go to the wedding. It's okay, guys. You don't have to. You don't have to. Which she has straightened me out on that. She's helped me out with that. I struggle going to weddings. She said, Damon, you talk about people supporting each other. She said, you tell them to go to funerals to show their love. You're willing to go to a funeral to show your love, but not a wedding. I'm convicted. She got me. I'm going to come to your wedding when you have one. I will celebrate while you celebrate. Amen. We should be there for each other. She convicted me. It's the one thing that in her whole marriage she got me on. There's a wedding. The main event of the evening is the wedding. The wine is there to accompany the feast. I don't know exactly who was in charge, but in this time of union and celebration, somebody underestimated how much wine they needed. You ever been there? Has anybody ever been there? Not underestimate why anything. Have you ever invited people over and you underestimated their appetite? Have you ever had a church function and ran out of food? You know how horrible it is when you have you ever done this? Somebody comes to your house, you say, hey, you want a Dr. Pepper? And you go look and you don't have any? No, not y'all, right? Anybody? Okay, you raise your hand on this one so we don't feel too long. You ever underestimated? Man, when you underestimate, it's tough. Whoever was in charge of this underestimated. I want to spiritualize this for a minute because, man, I feel preachy today. I want to take this and spiritualize it for a minute. There was a union that was supposed to take place here. I want to throw this in there. Between a man and a woman, there was a union getting ready to take place here. And in this, there were some things that were to accompany that to make the guest, to make the whole experience a little better. Are you with me? But somebody underestimated how much it would take to keep those people there. Are you with me? Not everybody showed up for the union. But let me spiritualize this. You are coming into union with things, whether you realize it or not. Everybody is becoming jointly a union to something in this life. Some people are coming into union with the wrong things. And the enemy knows that eventually that's going to pass. So he brings things to accompany you in your union. Are you with me? Let me clarify this. The enemy grossly underestimated what it would take to fulfill that union in my life. Can you say amen? Let me say it like this. There were some things in my life that the enemy put there, and he underestimated. It wasn't enough to keep me where he wanted to keep me. Oh. Let me try it again. The enemy kept giving me stuff. And he kept giving me stuff and giving me stuff and giving me stuff. But he grossly underestimated because eventually it ran out. I said eventually it ran out. Eventually the effects of it ran out. Eventually the desire for it ran out. I came to a point in my life where I said this, I'm out. I am out. There's not enough of this to keep me where you want to keep me. I'm out. It's not enough. There's not enough. Let me say it like this. This world has nothing for me. It's not enough. It's not enough. There's just not enough. Because there come a point when I'm out. Do you have anything else to offer, devil? Because what you've offered so far is not working anymore. They write songs about it, don't they? Cost the whiskey, I ain't working anymore. You ever heard that stuff? There comes a point with whatever the devil's been giving you, it runs out. Its effect runs out. It don't work anymore. Oh, there's a time. There's a time. There's a place where it worked. Can I get an amen? Let me try it over here. I may be a little too holy over there. Let me get some people to be real with me. They may be like, oh, yes, yeah. No, you tell me. Was there ever a time when what the devil was giving you was working and you was okay with it and life was just peachy keen, but then there came a point when you looked around and you said, man, I'm out. This ain't working. It's not fulfilling anymore. It's not satisfying anymore. At the moment, it was good. The Bible says it like this. Sin has pleasure, but that pleasure is only for a season, and the season runs out. So, mom shows up and said, they're out of wine. There comes a point when it runs out. They're out. There comes a point when the world runs out. They don't have anything else to give you. They're out. They may have the money, but they don't have any wine. They don't have anything that'll satisfy. They may have all the cool songs, but there's no wine. I'm talking about a different wine now. Y'all with me? Everybody with me? They may have all the gimmicks, and they may have all the show, and they may have all the radio, and they may have a lot of things, but they have no wine. I come to tell you about a wine that never runs out, that will fulfill, that will take that lonely place and make you whole. Can I get a witness? That's all right. Clap your hands if you believe he's able to do that. Amen. Oh, that's just a side note. Runs out. She comes to Jesus and she says, they're out of wine. Jesus said, woman, what's that to me? Listen to what he says. It's not time. it's not time for me to do that. Listen to this. God is on a schedule. The problem is, if you're not careful, how many people in here are dreamers? How many people dream? How many people are dreamers? How many consider yourself a dreamer? Raise your hand. I'm a dreamer. I'm a dreamer. A dream without a date is no good. Because if you don't put a date on your dream, you're never going to fulfill your dream. But when you put a date on your dream, you make an appointment. Now here's what happens when you have an appointment. When you have an appointment, people can say, hey, would you like to go here? I'm sorry, I can't. I have an appointment. See, sometimes we can't prioritize because we don't have a time. We've not set a time. And let me tell you what's really scary is we think we still have time. To my elders in the church, how many of you older people can say that you agree with this statement? Time goes by a lot faster than you realize. Please raise your hand. And that's the trick of the enemy. You always have tomorrow. Tomorrow. But the Bible says we're not promised tomorrow. It's good teaching, right? We need to set an appointment, to set a date, so that we're not just dreaming in vain, but when you put a date on a dream, it becomes a goal. And let me tell you what Jesus was goal driven. If you don't believe it, watch the way he treated Judas and the way he treated Peter. Y'all know the story? Peter pulls out the sword. Jesus hooks the guy's ear back up. I know I've said this before, but Mike, at that point, if I'm any of those guards, I'm like, yeah, let's just leave this guy alone. We're good. I just seen him reattach his ear. I got an idea that Peter was a fisherman. He wasn't a fencer. He wasn't a skilled sword. I don't think he was aiming for his ear. That's just me personally. Jesus would look at Peter when he tried to stop it, and he would call him Satan. Get the hints, Satan. Judas, the betrayer, comes in and kisses Jesus and shows him and leads him to his death. And you know what Jesus called Judas? Friend. It seems totally backwards to me. The guy that betrays me is not my friend, and the guy that's cutting off ears for me is my buddy. But no, Jesus was goal-driven. He knew what he came to do. For this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And if you were pushing him toward that end goal, you were his friend. If you tried to stop him, you were Satan. Yeah, man, sometimes everybody that says your friend is not your friend. I seen an interview the other day, and this is, some of y'all won't care, and I don't really care now, but I'm just going to tell you. Charles Barkley and Michael Jordan used to be really good friends. Did y'all know that? But they hadn't spoken for like 10 years. And they asked Charles Barkley why, and he said, because I told him he wasn't going to be a good manager, because he surrounded him with people that wouldn't say no to him. He said, you need people in your life that'll say no to you. And Jordan called him and cursed him and told him all of a sudden they haven't talked for 10 years. He said, man, I'm just doing my job, man. You got it. Sometimes you need somebody in your life that'll tell you no. Sometimes you don't need everybody to agree with what you think they ought to agree with. Amen. Jesus was goal-driven. So he says, they're out of wine. Jesus said, I don't have nothing to do with this. She said, whatever he says, do it. Man, this is a mass underestimation of how much wine they would need. This is really awesome when you think about it, because I don't care what the devil estimates it will take you to keep you. It's an underestimation when Jesus shows up. Come on, little side, help me. You're the oddballs, you face the wrong way anyway. See, the enemy thought, Mike, that what he had to give you would be enough. But when Jesus walks into the room, everything changes because it's not enough. And when it's not enough, I'm going to tell you where you get enough. You go to him and you say, hey, this ain't working anymore. I'm out, man. I am completely out. And you know what he does? He begins to move. And when he begins to move, things change. Watch how it changes. She says to him, whatever he says, do it. I could have just preached this. Whatever he says, do it. Notice, I got to be careful, be careful, be careful. Notice it doesn't say, if you feel like doing what he says, do it. I don't really want to. I don't feel good. You know how many times I have preached, I'm not bragging, and not felt good? It gets worse as I get older and more frequent. You know how many times me and Tracy's got in the car and went down the road and preached at churches when we didn't feel good? A lot. Look back there, Brother Eddie. Look, everybody, wave at him, Brother Eddie. That man's anointed at 84. Out-preach any of us. Go ahead, Johnny. Go ahead. Just go ahead and back it up. Go ahead. Say amen. 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 What? 80 what? 80. Sorry. 81. Who's that? Okay. Got it. 81. 81. Oh, I'm sorry. I missed it by 3 years. That's prophetic, Eddie. We'll see you at 84. He's anointed. And man, wouldn't you like to have his anointing? Wouldn't you like to have his wisdom? But you know what the issue is? You don't want to go through what he went through to get where he is. I got a phone call the other day, and this is a true story. I got a phone call the other day, and somebody said, hey, there's a message you preached, and I'm going to preach it. I said, okay, that's fine. Where can I find it? And I tried to help them find it. And this is what they said to me. And again, I'm not bragging. They said, man, one of the best preachers I ever heard, except Brother Eddie. No, it wasn't you. That means there's more of you. Here's the issue, though. Do you want to run a bread truck? Do you want to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning and go run a bread truck and come home and sleep for a couple of hours and drive to Timbuktu to preach to 8 people? Is that what you want? No, you don't want to do that because you don't feel good about it. But let me tell you what Eddie did. He did it. You know why? Because whatever he said to do, he did it. Even when he was tired, he did it. When he was weak, he did it. When he was sick, he did it. I'm telling you, this anointing will cost you something, and this is what it's going to cost you. Whatever he says, do it. Do it. Do it. Sorry. Do it, Darren. Whatever he says, do it. If he says witness, witness. If he says pray for somebody, pray for somebody. Whatever he says, do it. They go and they bring the water pots in. 6 of them. 6 water pots. Like I said, I've listened to a lot of people preach this. I've studied a lot of ministers, read a lot of commentaries on this particular miracle because I didn't understand it. And out of all the people that said anything about this part, I like what T.D. Jakes said. This is pre, never mind, leave it alone. He said, you know what they brought in? Y'all just now got it. Y'all go ahead. You can laugh now. You just got it, right? Everybody got it. Okay. They brought in 6 stone water pots. 6, not glass, not ceramic, not porcelain, 6 stone water pots. Why that? Because sometimes you need people who are made out of substance and aren't so concerned about looking the part. You need somebody that's rock solid, not somebody that looks pretty. Amen? You need somebody that's locked in. And listen to what they did. They filled them up to the brim. They filled them up to the brim. And this is so awesome. Darren, this is so good. Because I'm not really sure when it happened. Read the story. I've read it a lot. You tell me. When did the water become wine? I mean, I'm almost asking myself, was it just a taste bud thing? He said, take it and pour it out. And somewhere between pouring it in and pouring it out, a transformation took place. Y'all with me? Let me tell you, all he's asking you to do is pour it out. See, I picture myself in this whole thing. At first, I'm a guest of the wedding. And I figure out we're running out. In this story, I transform myself into the person that has been called to pour it out. Anybody with me? I came in. Man, I'm just here. I'm not here for a long time. I'm just here for a good time. You ever heard that one? I just showed up, man. But then I figured out the stuff that I came for was gone. But then I found out about another guy that had something else to give. And you, listen, you can say whatever you want. When Jesus made this water into wine, it was a different kind of wine than they were drinking at the first of the party. Preach it, preacher. You say, no, it was the same thing. No, it wasn't, because that other stuff wasn't made out of water. Good. This is good. This is really good. Why is it so good, preacher? Because there is a river that he puts in you. And when that river is put in you, the goal of that water is not to stay in you. It is designed to flow out of you. And when it flows out of you, there is a transformation that takes place, and it'll heal somebody.
He said, like this, not like this. I'm going to use it.
You ever preached a sermon and you didn't think it went very good?
What is it? Absolutely.
How about you?
Oh, yeah.
How about you?
Every time.
Lord, we need to pray for his self-esteem. How about you?
Oh, yeah.
Every time?
Not every time.
Oh, you thought you nailed it a few times. How about you, Brother Eddie?
I'd want to quit every Monday morning.
Go up there and sit with Sam. I've preached before and walked to sit down and, man, I blew it. I absolutely messed that up. Man, that's not... That wasn't my notes. I was off my notes. I was out of kelter. I didn't even finish my main point. And when Tracy heard me preach the sermon before and she knew the good part, she'd say, well, you forgot to tell them. And if she missed it, my kids would tell me, Dad, you didn't even tell them about that one good part. There was one good part and I left it out. Now tell me, have you ever done that? And then somebody come up to you after service and they go, thank you. doing that?
Absolutely.
Now let me hear it now.
Yes, sir.
Let's build you up a little bit. Let's edify you. They come up to you and they say, I've had them come up to me with tears in their eyes and look at me and say, I needed that so bad. Had a lady come and tell me one time, I prayed for God to give me an answer. And I came to church. He told me if I came to church tonight, he'd give me the answer. I felt like I totally messed it up. And she said, I got my answer after years of praying. I thought that what I poured out was water. I thought this is not going to be any good. It wasn't any good. But somewhere between the pouring out and the receiving, there's a God that will take what you pour out and turn it into something that'll change their life, that'll make their heart merry. All he's asking you to do is pour it out. Pour it out. Pour it out. Man, I've done it so many times. But you know why I come back? Because he told me to. Eddie quit every Monday morning. Sam's never felt good about one of his sermons. No, not one. No, not one. But you keep coming back. You know why you keep coming back? Because he told you to do it. Whatever he says, do it. Whatever he says, do it. You know what? When you come in the service, listen, praise is not optional in this building anymore. Yeah. Why, preacher? Because he said, let everything that hath breath, praise the Lord. But you know what? I'm not there yet. Listen, you don't even have to be firm in it yet. I'm not there yet. I'm not. Just start where you are, pour it out, and he'll meet you wherever you are. I promise, if you pour it out. But preacher, you don't understand. I'm not where I need to be yet. He didn't ask you to get where you need to be before you praise him. He said if you're breathing, you ought to praise him. If you got breath, you ought to praise him. Come on, Aaron. Come on. Read you a couple of verses. Psalms 47 and 1. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Everybody, all you people. If you are people, clap your hands. Oh, yeah, man, something. Hey, now I want you to think about this. You're applauding the King of Kings. You are applauding the Lord of Lords. He asked you to do it. I don't know why he likes it, but he likes it. Oh, he said, clap your hands, all ye people. Next part, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Here's the problem, preacher. Let me tell you what the problem with me is, preacher. I didn't ask you what your problem is. I'm sick of problems. I'm going to give you the answer. I don't care what the problem is. The problem is I'm running out. Well, let me tell you what you need to do. Do what he says. Do what he says. Do what he says. Do what he, whatever he says, do it. But the problem, stop. It's not good enough. Pour it out. Because they call the bridegroom and they say, you know what? This ain't how this normally goes down. The way this normally works, Jason, is they bring out the best wine first. And then when everybody is drunk, they bring out the trash. But you guys have done something totally different. You save the best for last. See, listen, I lived in sin for the first part of my life. I walked in iniquity the first part of my life. But when I found Jesus, I found out the best came later. The best came later. The best came later. All right, hurry. Psalms 158, 1 through 6, I'm going to read this, and I'm going to give you an opportunity to worship. Ready? Let me help you out. Go like this. Come on, let me see. Come on, see. Get yourself. You can't look any more goofy than this. Do it again. How was that? Everybody's done seen you that goofy. Now let's get serious. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Are you in the sanctuary? You're in the right place. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Do you believe that the presence of the Almighty God is in this room? If you believe that, then you are in the firmament of his power. Next verse. Praise him for his mighty acts. Do you believe that he done something that nobody else could do? Do you believe that he's mighty in battle? Do you believe that he's able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all we ask or even think by the power that works in us? Do you want to praise him according to his excellent greatness? Do you believe he's great? If he's great, he is greatly to be praised. Verse 3. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and the harp. Verse 4, praise him with the timbrel and the dance. Praise him with the string instruments. Praise him with the organ. Verse 6, here we go. Let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Whatever he says to do, just do it. Let's go.